listen, just refresh your mind about just, you know, what it means to be equipped for life or equipping yourself in terms of Christian life. Okay, just kind of what that means. We're going to go recap our lessons for a little bit. And we'll do a little activity, kind of a little personal reflection time, just see, you know, ways to equip yourself, things that you've learned. We're going to go over that a little bit later. So, Brian, we'll just sort of recap here today. We have a recap.
I feel like it is Bible study. You guys will be able to give us your new ideas at the end. For you guys, so. The new idea is Bible study. You know, we're here reading the Bible. Maybe we should actually read the Bible. So that's what we're going to do. So by the end of today, each one of us can say we've at least read Colossians on our way to reading the New Testament or the whole Bible or something like that. So what we're going to do is literally going to read Colossians. Not a lot of fun, I know. So next thing we have, we have Colossians spelled out there. So, C is supposed to stand for something.
Alright, so basically we're going to just take some time and basically try and split up and just, you know, find a place somewhere in the building, okay, somewhere, you know, not too dark, whatever. But basically just read through the book of Colossians, okay, and just, you know, just go over some of the lessons we talked about. And I guess, you know, there were 10 letters. The original plan is to find one thing starts with C, one thing starts with O, one thing starts with L, something you learned or a verse containing this, the starts of this word or letter or something like that. And basically we should have 10 things, right? There's 10 letters. This should be, by the end of the Bible study time, should be 10 things you wrote down that either you learned or that, you know, that you remember from one of our lessons over the course of this, how many, 12, 13 weeks we did, right?
Paint them through in an interesting twist, too, if you want to try to make a sentence out of them, too. Start with C, and then the next word with O, and try to make it relate to Colossians. So.
And the main thing, yes, I think the main thing is just get 10 things. Bonus points if you do the Colossians thing, okay? You don't have to work too hard on that, but just find basically 10 things within the book of Colossians while we're reading it over that you remember or that you learned from either a lesson or a verse that means a lot to you, something.
Right? It should take about 20 to 25 minutes, depending on how fast or slow. Faster readers, about 15 minutes. Slower readers, 20 to 25. So. Go anywhere you want. The papers are right there.
So my paper and pens here.
Very good. Self-guided study. And then we'll get together and we'll kind of review what we learned during the week. Or during
the week.
So everyone's just doing own, yeah, just grab your Bible, go read over the verses, okay, read over the chapters, and as I just, you know, write down at least 10 things, what's the importance of Colossians, and we'll just get back here and we'll kind of recap every all the lessons and just go over what everyone else has learned and see if we can share some ideas, things like that.
So we got a lot of couples in here, right?
Who do you think's the head of the relationship? Do you think the man's the head of the relationship or the woman?
Christ.
What do you
guys?
Christ. Let's not think outside the box here. The man or the woman? What do you guys think? The women?
Or.
No, I think the guys are.
Or.
You think the guys are?
Yes, the guys are. I have the first one.
Literally, need a leader.
They're
Who wears the army boots? How about that?
What?
Who's the boss?
It depends on the
boss.
I want to hear from Dennis here. The man is the boss here.
Well, in the Bible, it says the husband. Yeah.
Good, but say your girlfriend wants to go somewhere, and you're going to tell her no?
No.
She really, really wants to go. What if I wanted to go, then it's a good situation. Okay. Well, there's a little joke I just picked up. So, alright, a man and his wife were having some problems at home and were giving each other the silent treatment. Not talking to each other. So, then the man realized that the next day he's got to wake up really, really early for a business flight. So they both go to sleep. So he didn't want to lose the silent treatment. So he writes on a piece of paper, "Please wake me up at 5 a.m. in the morning." Hands it to his wife, or places it somewhere where his wife would easily see it. Okay. So they both go to sleep. And the next morning comes. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. And the husband's really upset. why didn't my wife wake me up? I missed my flight, my real important business flight. So he's going around the house, rampaging, looking for his wife, and then can't find his wife, but on the nightstand right next to the bed, his wife left him a note. And what did it say?
Wake up, we'll get you.
Exactly, it said, it's 5 a.m., wake up. So, it says right here, men are not equipped for these kinds of contests. You guys agree with that? Disagree with that?
You shouldn't make matters worse.
Don't make matters worse?
You should have just said it. It looked like you didn't really care, and just like left it like as it is. Okay. Like you didn't try to fix what they were mad about. Yeah. You just didn't care and just like wanted. You wanted something, but you wasn't mad enough to do it. So.
Mad enough.
I like that.
But they're arguing. you'll see why I started with that in a bit. But let's go on to our review of the Colossians. I think the first few chapters, I'm going to talk about congratulations. When you guys, I mean, some of you guys have friends that might be getting married, or you know, it's their birthday or something like that, and they tell you. And what's the first word out of your mouth? You guys usually say, hey, congratulations, right? You don't sit there silent and go, ooh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. What's congratulations? And in much the same way, when Paul heard that the Colossians were accepted the word of God, he was really happy for them. He offered his congratulations, and his congratulations is put down into the book of Colossians right here, which is what you guys have just read. Okay. We also talked about the secret. Pat talked a little bit about that. So the philosophy of the secret is you want to always have positive energy in you, negative energy out. Positive in, negative energy out. So with all this positive energy, they say that you attract more positive energy. And you know, everything, all your problems will go away, everything will work out. Sounds like an interesting thing, right? Okay. But is this secret going to help our lives? No, it's not. It's still an empty philosophy. There's only one thing that can help our lives, and that's something. That's the Bible right here and what the Bible says. You know, the secret's going to let us down eventually. What if we can't get that positive energy into our lives? Who knows how to get the positive energy into our lives? Not me. Another husband and wife. Oh, yeah.
I didn't do what she did.
She did it.
How to, though?
Okay.
Go tell the people that have positive energy.
Uh-huh.
And get positive energy.
So you steal their positive energy?
No, like talk to them and like let them see what they can. Yeah, use the force.
Use the force. Use the force. Use positive energy.
Inherit their positive energy.
Inherit their positive energy.
Like let them help you. Know what, like let them show you the positive energy that you have inside you still.
But what if one person has positive energy and the other doesn't really have positive energy? Alright, it's a good suggestion. So I'm going to keep on my theme of this husband and wife stuff, right? Alright, so you know, the husband's supposed to be the handyman around the house, right? You guys know that. So the wife goes, you know, husband, fix this. Yeah, that's really easy, right? But some husbands will go, you know, I just don't have the right tools. I can't fix this. You know, go find some. He's just making an excuse. I don't have the proper tools. Okay? So another husband and wife, the wife goes, hey, husband, fix this. And the husband goes, all right, great. I have a whole basement full of tools down there. Let me go grab this, grab that, a little bit of this. Look manly in front of the wife, right? And starts to fix things. And instead of making it better, things get a lot worse. Instead of one leak, now there's two leaks, and now you got to call a real plumber, right? And then the lucky wife asks her husband, you know, husband, can you fix this? And then you know, he has all the tools, he has all the knowledge, he can fix things, right? Might not be able to fix everything, but he can fix things. So three different situations, I'm sure you guys all heard different things. You can think of people that you know that are handymen, or people that you know that just break stuff. Okay, much the same way, you know, do we have the proper tools in our lives? And the proper tools are the Bible. Yeah, that's a good tool.
Go to church.
Go to church, right. And do we sometimes make excuses?
Yes.
We don't have the Bible there, or something like that. Okay, we have our tools now. Do we know how to use our tools? Do we make things worse with our tools? We go, you know what, the Bible says this. Well, we don't really know what we're doing. Well, sometimes, I guess, but we try not to make things worse. And the best situation is, you know, we have the correct tools, we know how to use them, and we can fix it. We can fix, what are we trying to fix here?
Our lives.
Fix other people's lives, right. And in one of the last few lessons, we talked about friends and relationships with friends, relationships at home, relationships with coworkers. You know, some of these people might not be saved. They sort of need fixing, kind of. Not a nice way to say it, but, you know, we can use what we've learned to hopefully bring them to Christ, all our acquaintances. Another lesson that we learned, can you guys know the hymn, Jesus Paid It All? Yeah? Is that one of the hymns in the on the middle side? Do you know? Okay, very good.
A song from the Bible Olympic. It's Sunday, so study up, right?
So how's the song go?
I hear the Savior say.
My strength can be as small.
Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all.
Okay.
Jesus paid it all. All to him my own. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
That's very good. But how is he going to help them if you don't sing it out?
You can sing it later. Okay. I thought you wanted to hear the words.
We can sing it later. But I know Jesus paid it all. One of the topics in our book was, you know, to always put Jesus first, because Jesus did pay it all. Jesus did pay it all for us. And, you know, we should be debtors to that. We should owe Jesus everything. Put him first. Let me go with this one. How many legs does a dog have if you call the tail a leg?
One.
One? Five? What was that?
I said I like five.
You have five? Anybody else have answers?
Seven.
Four, why?
You call it what you want, it's not a leg.
Exactly. Very good. Calling a tail a leg doesn't make it a leg. The dog still has four legs, right? And that's the truth. No matter how you try to say it, it's still the truth. The dog still has four legs. So again, what am I trying to say? You know, there's no substitute for the truth. Jesus is the truth. No matter how some people might prefer to say this one way or another, or say, you know, Jesus is this, Jesus is that, we still know that Jesus is the truth. We know what we believe, and don't let anybody tell you anything else. Let's talk a little about caterpillars and butterflies. Do we have any science majors here, or science folks? Anybody know the process? Caterpillars to butterflies? Nobody at all? You have a clue? Go for it.
Something like that.
Ask Ada. Okay, Ada. So how does this process work?
Ask Wendy.
Okay, Wendy.
Caterpillar eats leaves, and then it turns into a cocoon, and then it turns into a butterfly.
Okay. Very good. Yeah. But how does the caterpillar turn into a butterfly? You know that?
It spins some kind of cocoon.
And it changes magically.
Yeah. Evolves slowly.
You know what? You know what? I'm gonna go with that. It just magically transforms.
But there's always a chance that someone's gonna kill it.
Yeah.
This is true. Very, very true.
My friend killed one.
Why I bring that up is, you know, the caterpillar, when it's young, it crawls around and eats leaves, right? It's on the surface, crawls around in the dirt, crawls around in all this kind of yucky stuff, right? It goes about it, and it a lot of times can get crushed. It's really in a dangerous environment. Or even by a bird, right? And then what happens, it goes into its cocoon and it transforms itself magically, as you call it. And I'm going to call it too, because I have no idea. So. It transforms into a beautiful butterfly, which you guys see out there, right? It's fluttering in the air. It's no longer in the dirt or the ground, but you see it flying around in the air. You know, the caterpillar's kind of ugly. The butterfly is beautiful.
But I had a pet caterpillar before.
When you flushed
itself
the
toilet.
See how dangerous
it is? It was dead.
So we have some family issues over there. But.
No, it was really dead. What was it? She fed it. It was brave.
Okay. So what does that mean in our Christian lives? Anybody
want to take a stab at this?
Please.
We're caterpillars now here on Earth, but then when we go into heaven, we'll be new and free.
That's pretty good. Anything else? There's lots of right answers.
Well, I would add that you don't have to wait to go to heaven to change. Basically, once you accept Christ, you should, like, there's part of the new man and the old man, right? The old man's put off, new man's put on. The new clothes lesson, basically. You're putting new clothes on a Christian once you accept Christ.
But there's still the flesh there, though.
Yeah. There is.
Yep.
That's true. I mean, old things are put away, like Cal said. We're no longer as dirty as we used to be. Even though we're still dirty. That's the way it is, but... You know, we should be beautiful butterflies that other people admire, that other people want to feel like. So, I think one of the main lessons, put away earthly things, there's heavenly things above. That's kind of what I got out of it. That's a quick review of all the lessons of Colossians. How did you guys do on that thing? Pretty hard? Pretty
terrible.
Easy? Terrible?
It was hard.
Hard. I don't have capital over there, so I can't push it.
How many of you guys actually did the whole Colossians letters and everything?
Wow.
Bonus points. 50 bonus points for you guys.
Okay.
Plus 50. I don't care. Okay. But is there any points anyone want to share with just...
You know, just anything that while you're reading over the book today that something just really stuck out to you or something that you really enjoyed about the lessons we learned? I've got a couple minutes here to...
One of the S words, can we just go into the letters of the S word?
Yeah.
That I put down is substance. I really felt that as, you know, I was reading through Colossians that, substance sort of spoke to me because more or less, like, I really felt, you know, we have this heavenly, or we have this earthly body here, but, you know, a lot of that's inside of us, a lot of things that I guess that support us. I feel like the substance is really from God, you know. I think one other verse I was reading, chapter 1, verse 16, it talks about, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." So I felt like, you know, sort of we are who we are today. After we believe in Christ, then he is the thing that makes who we are, and he's sort of our substance. So that's one of the things that spoke to me.
Anybody else? You don't want to share what they wrote down for Colossians if you did the Colossians challenge?
Always pick on somebody.
Did anybody do a sentence? Or try to do a sentence?
Me and Jen did.
Don't be afraid to share when you're just like learning the Bible. You have to share that with someone else. And like, trying to teach other people to share something or two here, right? What are you going to learn today? Bible study, right?
When I was leaving, do you want to speak? I just said, don't look at me. Did you do anything? When I was rereading this today, when Paul said, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake," it's just like every time we go through trials and tribulations, it's so hard to thank God. And yet, like, Paul just, like, You know, I rejoice in my suffering. I don't know, for me, it really took me. It's kind of like someone to learn from. I mean, it's hard. You know, as you said, it's so hard to become a butterfly with our flesh, but, you know, something that really should. Well, she has a story. Okay, like, this is about the butterfly thing, but it's different. So, like, I forgot what they're called, but they, like, live in the ponds. Like, okay, so, like, these little bugs, right? Like, they will get together, like, they were all really good friends, right? But, like, every once in a while, like, one of their friends would go up to a lily pad, right? And then they would, like, just disappear, right? So, like, one day they all, like, had a meeting and they were all like, oh, yeah, why don't we just, like, if one of us ever goes up there, make sure to come back and tell us what's up there and, like, what happened to you and everything, right? So, like, one day, like, one of the bugs, right, went up to a lily pad, right? And then, like, he turned into a butterfly, dragonfly, right? And then, like, he was really happy, right? Like, so he just started flying around because of his new body and his new wings, right? And then he remembered he was supposed to go down and tell all the others, right? But when he tried, he couldn't because the water would, like, not let him. So he was all like, well, they'll find out sooner or later. So, like, he just left them there. So, yeah. So it's kind of like angels and the butterfly, and don't laugh at me, and all the other stuff. So yeah.
You're slow.
No, it's like you see, like if you turn into an angel, like it's kind of impossible to come down. Like it's kind of like how we believe in God, right? It's like we're not really sure if He's there or not, but we know He's there. Like, we don't have proof, but...
How can it not make sense?
You said, yeah, you're not sure if he's there, but he's there.
Well, many people don't believe him because they want proof that he's there, right? So, but... Yeah.
Your story a lot better than my story.
You know everything?
Yeah.
Great. Okay, any other thoughts about the study we've done based on Colossians in general or in the lessons we did?
This was in Colossians chapter 3 where talking about like parents should provoke anger against you and like it just like makes you upset sometimes because my parents like really sometimes they just don't really care about my beliefs and things. But then the reason I actually knew about this church is because my mom made me go to math camp. Mm-hmm. And it was mainly to learn math, but then Melvin brought that wordless book. And yeah.
Why? No, it's silent.
Well, I guess there's no one else
else to ask.
Okay.
Okay. So, in chapter 4, Paul, he talks about, like, some of his friends, and he acknowledged them, and, you know, things that they did them. And I guess it kind of, like, made me realize that, you know, sometimes we take our friends and stuff for granted and not acknowledge, like, how much they mean to you and stuff. Anyhow. Shut up, Pat.
I didn't say
anything. You're my friend. I love you, Pat.
You're supposed to say I love you back.
It's okay. I'll say
smile's fading.
Okay, any more thoughts on Colossians or Bible studies before we wrap up this session?
I want to say one more thing before. I say all these things about husbands and wives. jokes about all this kind of stuff, right? Now it's time to repent. So you got, what is it? Verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. You hear about all these jokes about husbands and wives, girlfriends, boyfriends, how they don't get along. But the Bible has the way it's supposed to be. It's not a joke. It's a real thing. I mean, wives should submit to their husbands. Husbands should be a good leader in the family as well. Okay? So I don't want you guys to take all that seriously. You're going to go home. I'm going to get in trouble. I don't know what it will, but I mean that's the way it is. I mean, that's the lesson I think Colossians right there. That's all I have, my disclaimer.
Okay, so basically, this list of like you know the things you wrote down, things that you learned, things that you're gonna kind of remember. You know, whether it's like you made a sentence out of the words or just little phrases that you wrote down, like you know verses you wrote down. Okay, these are kind of like you know your little toolbox thing, your tools that we got out of this lesson, right? So you know, basically, we talked about being quick, polite. You know, keep this like you know, just look a little over sometime later today, or keep in your Bible or something, just because you know, remember these are some of the tools that we're picking up here for the how to live a better Christian life, how to you know serve God better, how to worship God better. Basically, how to challenge yourself to grow more. Okay, these little things, you know, that's just part of the toolkit that we get from God, right? Anything else, you guys? Hopefully, we are better equipped for life as a result of our Bible studies here. I'm going to look quite into this book here and make them sell it.
Got new books.
Yeah, but I guess let's just pray first and then we'll play a little game afterwards.
Yay!
Okay, well, Father God, we just thank you for these past 4 months of Bible study from Colossians, Lord God. Just thank you for those that shared some of what they learned this afternoon or this evening, Lord. And let's pray continue to work in the rest of us, Lord. Just keep us focused in your word. Keep us, I guess, eager to learn more about just the things you want to do, Lord. We pray for our continued Bible study here, Lord, and this future Bible studies. We hope that they're just engaging and we continue to grow from those as well, Lord. We just thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.